just going to go for it. Today, I'm going to preach about politics. Yeah, that's the response I got at the other masses, too. It's true. Politics is just such a huge part of our lives. Every time we turn on the news, we see it. Every time we get together with family, we talk about it. I mean, we just had Thanksgiving last week. I'm sure with many of your family members, the topic came up in some way, shape, or form. Or maybe it didn't because you purposefully avoided it, knowing what retribution would be enacted when people started getting into arguments about who's right and who's wrong. It's just such an overwhelming part of our lives, and so many of us don't like it. It's just there, and we have to deal with it. And especially here recently, I mean, this past November, we had the elections taking place. Before that, it was the whole thing with Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court, the Trump election, I mean, so on and so forth. And it's very clear from these elections how close a lot of these contests are, how hot some of the debate topics are, that we live in the modern age, in an age when the politics are extremely divisive in our nation. Why we don't like talking about politics, why we don't bring it up at Thanksgiving. And it's true, we've got Republicans and Democrats, we've got liberals and conservatives, we have all these divisions in our country. In fact, and I won't say who it was, but one of our parishioners was talking to me about this exact thing. And this was right after the Kavanaugh thing went on. And they said, "Father, I'm convinced that today is the most divided our country has ever been." And I just looked at him and I said, "Really? What about the Civil War? Slightly more divided than I think. There was a time when you talk about division in our country really playing itself out to the point that people in their beliefs on how this country should run, the policies they're in, what counts as like the ideal American life, was so adamant that they literally were willing to fight for it. They were willing to die in combat over it. It was an insane time in our history. Brother fighting against brother on the battle line, willing to kill and die for what they believed in. Extremely divided part of our national history. I don't think we're quite there yet today. We're still divided, but nothing like the Civil War. Now, what fascinates me about the Civil War and that division, North and South, free land and slave states, was that right after Abraham Lincoln got elected and the South broke away, there's kind of this movement in our country that recognized that in that division, in that divisiveness, politics was not going to solve the problem. Politicians did not have the authority or the power to make a difference anymore. That was very clear. Abraham Lincoln got elected, the South broke away. There was also a movement that recognized that even war was not really going to heal our nation. Sure, it may force the South to reconnect, but it's not going to heal anything. It's not going to knit us back together again as one unified country. And so there was a petition that was started by a Protestant minister, and he went across the North getting signatures on this, seeking another way to bring healing to the nation. And in this petition, they made a proposition to the United States Treasury. They proposed this idea that we need to put on our coins and on our currency, "In God we trust." The phrasing they used was they wanted the Treasury to recognize Almighty God in some form on our coins in order to relieve us from the ignominy of heathenism, is the wording they used. And so they did. They petitioned the Treasury because they realized that it was only through God and trust in Him that our nation would be saved. It was only by appealing to some higher cause, divine nature itself, that this land would persevere. Not through politics, not through military action. In God we trust. Now, as is true today, it was true back then. It wasn't something that immediately went through. It took a few years. They had to realize the Treasury couldn't just enact that on their own. They had to get permission from Congress, which then again had to appeal to the President. It was a whole process that went through, but in the Coinage Act of 1864, it was passed. And so on the 1 and 2 penny pieces back then, they finally minted on the coins, "In God we trust," for the first time. Fast forward 100 years after that. Here we are now after World War II, in the 1950s, and now there's a new enemy. It's no longer North and South. It's America versus Russia. It is capitalism and communism, democracy and totalitarian governments. And once again, there was a recognition that our human means was not going to be enough. There was a new evil lurking in the Far East, and we had no means of dealing with it. Politicians were not enough. Nuclear armament was a frightening proposition. And so once again, we realized that our means were not going to be good enough. We needed something greater than that. And so once again, this was in 1956, a proposition went out that we still needed that in God we trust, but now at an even higher level, not just on the one and two penny piece, but on all currency that we have. And more than that, there was a proposition that this phrase, in God we trust, has to become our national motto. It becomes the foundation on which we build everything else. That this is our official branding of the United States, in God we trust. Now this was in the days of President Eisenhower's, the 84th Congress that brought this forward. And it passed. Now, here's the amazing thing about it. This bill that went through that to put "In God We Trust" on all currency and make it our national motto, it passed the House and the Senate unanimously. Can you imagine any bill today making it through both the House and the Senate unanimously? That a single person voted against it. That's how devoted we were to this cause, that something higher has to be there for us. Now, thankfully, even in the modern age, this phrase, "In God We Trust," is still our national motto. They did a poll a few years back to see if it still held with the American people. Did in our diverse culture, did this still have value to people? Thankfully, it does. Over 90% of Americans agree that this should be and remain our national motto, "In God We Trust." But do we live it out? This is where this weekend's celebration to me has great impact. This weekend we celebrate Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. Now here's the amazing thing. It's not Jesus Christ, the King of heaven. It's Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, our nations, all peoples, all religions, all creeds, everybody. He is Christ the King. And it's an amazing proposition to think that he is in charge. We don't think about it, but it's true. His is the majesty. His is the glory. And we need him now more than we've ever needed him before. And so in his monarchy, in his kingship, we find unity. We find a place that we can finally talk about these things. When I was at Cardinal Ritter High School and I was the chaplain there, we had to save space everywhere we could. And so my office, the chaplain's office, was in the same room as the music department. And so the band director, the choir director, was in there as well. He was a recent convert to the faith, Dustin was. And we would sit in there and we would just have arguments and debates all afternoon about politics. He was about as liberal as I am conservative. We went back and forth on so many issues. And they were heated arguments, don't get me wrong, but we respected each other, we were good friends. These were awesome debates that we had. We very much enjoyed these conversations. We did not leave with animosity between us. One day, I wondered why that was. Why is it that we could have these discussions, a liberal and a conservative, a Democrat and a Republican? And on this particular day, our debate was so engrossing that at the end, we had lost track of time. We didn't even know what time it was. And he had duties he was supposed to be doing at the end of the day, dismissing students and whatnot. The bell rings, and we realize it's the end of the day. We just talked away the entire afternoon. And the bell rang. We just finished up this great debate, and we both stood, and we turned to the right, because that was where the crucifix was on the wall, and every day at the end of school, we said prayer. So here we were on different sides of the fence, standing together, praying together, because we believed in something higher than politics. So what does that mean for us? It means that for us, at least to make a start, we have to live this out. In God we trust, Christ as our King. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to change politics. It doesn't mean that we're going to change the governmental system. That's okay. I'm convinced that that's not the answer anyways. We look back at the Civil War, we look at when we were facing against communism, It wasn't the politics or the military that won the day. It was God himself stepping in and saving it. And the same is true today. Every January, we make the March on Washington, D.C. for the pro-life cause, the March for Life. And we don't do it because we think we're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. We've been doing it for 40-plus years, and it hasn't happened yet. But that's not why we go. We don't go to change the law. We go because we're making a statement that we believe in Christ the King, that we place our trust in Christ the King, that he is on Monarch, he is in charge. And we go because we're hoping that that will change people's hearts and minds, that they will make the change themselves, one soul at a time. And we see that happening even here in Terre Haute. We used to have Planned Parenthood here. But we prayed about it. We went there. We demonstrated our faith. And now it's closed. It no longer exists. We didn't change the law. We changed people's hearts. We introduced them to a king that promises us peace and justice. A king who can do way more than any government programs, any laws, any bills that are passed. He's more powerful than any military on the earth. And now is the time to place our trust in him. Now is the time to believe in Christ the King. I'd like to end this homily then by singing from our national anthem. Now, this is not a well-known verse. There are four verses to our national anthem. Most of the time, we only sing the first, and that's all we really know. But there are four verses, four stanzas. And the fourth and final stanza, the last note of our national anthem, speaks to this point, that it is in God that we place our trust, that in him is our nation preserved and created. It is in him that the star-spangled banner still flies. And so, in recognition of our national anthem and the fact that we place our trust in God, Christ the King, let us stand for this singing. Oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave.